Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to another podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, and this week I'm recording this in Grapevine, Texas. As I mentioned last week when I was with James on the podcast, that Sue Kolb and I would be attending the NCAA convention, which is an annual convention. The NCAA has an agreement or contract with Gaylord Properties, and there's one here in Grapevine, Texas, so that's where we are. Let me give you just a little bit of a background as to how this particular is set up. There are representatives from Division 1, 2, and 3 here, although the governance structure of each one is different. Division 1 works with a governmental structure with representation from each of the different conferences. Divisions 2 and 3 operate with a one school, one vote. There's a president's council and management council in each of those divisions. And then we act upon legislation every year at this convention. Of course, that legislation has been in process for over a year, and many times things are introduced this year that will come down the pike for next year as well. Tuesday and Wednesday of the conference is always a scholarly colloquium and brings in white papers and research and focuses on one topic with about five or six different input sessions on that. We were not here to take that in this year. But then on Wednesday afternoon, we started with educational sessions. Many of them are association-wide, therefore either representation from all the different divisions or something that pertains to all the divisions. And with those, certainly you got to pick and choose to make sure you're getting some that are appropriate for the situations that we face. Thursday continues educational sessions, division-specific more often than not, and we're going to report on a couple of those that we were able to attend this week. And then on Friday morning, Division III sits down together and talks over the issues that they will be voting on Friday, as well as introduction of anything new that is coming down the pike probably for the following year. There'll be some reports on initiatives by the NCAA as well. Friday afternoon, we have our own conference meetings. Each conference is represented here in Division III has their own conference meeting. And then Saturday morning, we will have a business session in which there will be voting on the legislation as prepared, and there's a lot of research that goes in behind that. I sit down all the time with the President Schwarzentruber, with Ken Nafsinger, and with the faculty athletics representative, and we look over the legislation. We seek student input as to how they would like us to vote on this legislation. Some of it will pertain to Eastern Mountain University or impact it, others won't because it might be sports specific. I think this year there's one on when the first ice hockey game can be held. I don't think that's going to apply to EMU. So that gives you a little background as to what we do. We're actually taking a break right now in a reception, in which there's a lot of networking. Certainly there is an awful lot of networking that goes on here. I'm sure there's plenty of people looking for jobs within athletics. The Student Athlete Advisory Council is very prominent in terms of their meetings and being around here. So there are a lot of people that reconnect with each other that have either been former coaches or knew each other from committee work on the NCAA. There was a special this afternoon. There was an opening session. We heard a State of the Association address by Dr. Mark Emmert, the president. He also gave out the Gerald R. Ford Award, and that was very interesting. I may make a comment about some of the comments there related to how the NCAA is functioning as an association with trying to give autonomy, but where some of the decisions are actually being made. We'll get into that a little bit. But as I mentioned, Sue Kolb is with me, serving as the Assistant Athletic Director for Student Athlete Wellbeing. Has done a good job of relating to student athletes as it relates to attendance and academics and educational sessions. And she's part of working on an NCAA grant, and part of that grant allows her to join me at this convention. And she's done a good job of particularly taking in educational sessions, and so we've split it up a little bit on some of the things that we'd like to hear from. So, Sue, why don't you tell us just about one or two of the networking or one of the education sessions that you went to.
All right. The first one that I attended, I caught the tail end of the scholarly colloquium, which was emphasizing the effects of the economic model, which I know most Division III universities feel the effects of our state currently. And it talked about how we still need to advocate for academic success. How, you know, even though we're trying to bring in larger numbers of student athletes and we're trying to get our numbers up, how we still need to look at providing academic support within our athletic departments and spending the money to get maybe more tutors or more academic advisors So that was I thought pretty interesting for us to maybe consider or think about. The other one that I attended that I really liked was dedicated specifically for student athlete well-being, which obviously I was very passionate about. It talked about drug, alcohol, and steroid use, and surprisingly, amongst all divisions, Division III is the highest use percentage for student athletes using in those three categories. So, they discussed how Division III oftentimes can't buy drug tests for all of his student athletes, often like maybe D2 or D1 does, and how we just need to educate our student athletes on these issues and prevention. It also talked about social media and how Twitter and Facebook is really becoming more prevalent in our student athletes and how they're using to communicate, and just how this can oftentimes be risks for our student athletes. They can be targets of maybe bullying or something like that that's created serious issues. Foul language and sportsmanship was also brought up. And what's acceptable in our student athletes? Being a Christian college, what do we accept? What do we tolerate? And how are coaches and how are administrators being role models for our student athletes and being good models? So I've certainly enjoyed the convention so far. I'm looking forward to networking and just picking the brains of other administrators' minds while we're here and just sharing ideas. So it's been great so far.
Well, thanks. And one of the picked up on a couple. You mentioned the whole social media, and I attended one there. You mentioned Twitter and Facebook, and what we were told at the one was the fact that Facebook has sort of gone off the end, and it's no longer Facebook, but Twitter is the one that's going to be there. And some of the new ones that are coming out are even more prominent. And well, the one thing that I really was interested in and one I went away from was there's a lot of people out there that are prohibiting their team members from using Facebook or Twitter or accounts during the season or all year. There's at all levels, Division 1, 2, and 3. And they were taking a very much of an approach to say, this is the new language, this is what they're going to be involved in, so this needs to be something we educate them on, not prohibit them from. We can make our own minds up about that, but I thought that was interesting, is that if that is going to be it, maybe we need to learn how to educate them, and we may do that. One of the things that I forgot to mention that I think is sort of interesting here is one of the things I find out is how vastly different Division III is already. I was in a session not long ago, and there was a representative from Division III school, who their school is in the middle of a $1.2 billion capital campaign. And then I talked to someone else, and they don't allow any recruiting outside of their conference or outside of at all off campus. And then you've got somebody that only has 300 student athletes. But it's phenomenal how different we are. I don't know if you have been able to notice that or not. And sometimes it's really hard to take something and make it applicable to what we have. But I found that to be very interesting to begin to see how different we are, let alone how different we were than Division I. And right. Today we had an opportunity to sit down at lunch with three representatives from Texas A&M,
right.
And just listening to them, or Florida A&M, I'm sorry, yeah, Florida A&M, right. And listening to them, any observation you make about the variety of schools we have here, whether it be just within Division III or all the way up to Division I?
Yeah, I mean, certainly every division's well represented here. I think there's times where I strike up a conversation where I feel very proud where we are at EMU and where we've come, and maybe some institutions are still maybe 10 years behind where we are. But I think it's interesting, though, we can take and apply different maybe faucets to a conversation or to a session of maybe Division III schools, Division II, or Division I, and find a way to apply them to what we're doing, maybe just grab an idea. One of the best things that I think I do from this session is, I could take a session and think, how can I apply that at EMU? What could we do at EMU that we can incorporate the idea or the topic that they're talking about, and how can we make us better at EMU with the resources that we have? And I think that's how you really get value out of these sessions. So,
sure. I will follow up on a couple of sessions that I went to. I went to two related to compliance. Compliance meaning trying to follow all of the NCAA rules, and they're trying to reduce the handbook of bylaws, but it still is fairly thick, and following all that. But the discussion's largely centered on how much everybody needs to be involved in that. And that goes back to that same concept of how do we integrate athletics into the academics. And it, that's one of the things that I've noticed very distinctly is when you're here and you're talking to Division I athletes, it's pretty obvious that there is a wide, wide separation between the academic side and the athletic side. And in Division III, we like to pride ourselves in the fact that they're a little bit more integrated, and yet everybody is reporting that this pressure to improve your athletic program just continues to drive you further and further in potentially putting more emphasis into the athletics and thereby what happens to the academics, and therefore this, judgment that comes between athletics and academics. What are you really trying to do? And so we looked at some real models of how you can integrate and how the faculty or the faculty athletics representative, how other people need to be involved in understanding what the compliance rules are so we can do that. I also attended one that was very fascinating, was way, way over my head, and it had to do with concussions, which we all know is on the front page of a lot of stuff going on from the pro level all the way down. And the reason it was over my head was because it was led by three physicians that are at the peak of this in terms of research and studies, one out of Princeton, one out of Penn State, and the other out of Florida. And it was just fascinating to hear them. These are people that are working at the very top level of pros and also helping with research that goes all the way down to the younger ages as well. One of the big takeaways was simply the fact that it is a much larger thing than what we would like to think it would be. And that ranges all the way from even students now being somewhat apprehensive about returning to play because of what they're seeing and reading about in there. But they did talk a lot about the pros and the cons of the baseline testing that's being done right now, and that actually psychological testing is what really needs to be done. They talked about, and probably the easiest takeaway from that is the phrase that they used, if you've seen one concussion, you've seen one concussion, indicating that no two are alike. And so this is an injury to the brain. They also talked about it being the impact that it has on academics. And so if you're supposed to rest your hamstring muscle, when you pull it, when you injure it, you're going to have to go back. And when they were questioned, they said there really is no research out there yet that sort of indicates which parts of the brain are most affected and how it might affect. And they were very clear that each individual is there, and it's going to take a comprehensive analysis of when they come back onto the playing field. And I know that's becoming a point of contention, certainly at the professional level, when you've got your ace quarterback on the sidelines for 2 weeks, 3 weeks because of a concussion. It also impacts the Division III coach when we're playing our competitor down the road or a team that's in first place and your best player needs to sit out because they got a few headaches. Some of us are old school and we'd like to say, just get out there and play again. So again, it was way over my head in terms of the medical jargon that's out there, but it's one that I'm certainly going to go back and study more and look at the PowerPoint and that sort of thing. So I found that to be extremely helpful in terms of that. The final one that we went to, was one on fundraising, and I was interested to see how many of the people up there were talking about that we really have. We've used booster clubs and we've used team fundraisers. We used all this kind of stuff, and for most Division III schools, it is now time to move into much more of a professional model of fundraising and hiring someone who is specifically devoted. And I think that becomes extremely critical for a place like EMU because of the fact that we have so many of our graduates who have played sports and will go out and many times may stay disconnected because their connection to the university has been the athletic program. And we have got to make sure that we find ways to connect with them. And so we're continuing to look at the opportunities we might have to hire someone in a capacity that could raise funds directly from the university fund, but designated toward the growth of the athletic program that we have there. So, well, we hope that you have enjoyed this report directly from Grapevine, Texas. We finish up on Saturday and head on back, and then, as is typical of most conferences, I'm sure we'll come away with a few things that say we really do need to get this done. I would also just finally call your attention to the three new programs that I mentioned last time. There'll be an article on the webpage either at the end of this week or the first part of next week that will highlight those three new programs that we have that are going to highlight our student athletes. One is the Royal Player of the Week, the other is the Royal All-Academic Team, and the third is the Senior Recognition along with the faculty advisor, a faculty member. So make sure you check those out. Again, we don't have a report on the the men's and women's basketball game from Tuesday evening. Make sure you read about those. If you're in the area, make sure you come out for the activities on Saturday as well. There'll be a collection of funds and donated items in relation to Martin Luther King Day, and you can find all of that on the webpage as well. Thanks for joining us. This is Dave King, and until we talk next week, I invite you to make it a great week.